Welcome, music fans, to the Toronto Indie Scene, your front row seat and backstage pass to Canada's best emerging music. At this year's Canadian Music Week, Rough Trade will be inducted into the Indie Hall of Fame, and to get us in the mood, I've got an interview with Carol Pope later for you. But first, live at IndieCan, we have the Red Light Riot.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have with us the Red Light Riot. We have Francine and Dave and Donna and Kevin. So this isn't your first band, I don't think. How did you guys sort of get together? How did Red Light Riot happen?
I think Red Light Riot came to be when OnSwitch dissolved. Donna and I had a band, and just wasn't doing very well. It wasn't really happening for us, and we were left. And we've always been the constants. So we said, you know what? We're going to start a new band, and we're going to start a new vision. And we started writing songs that were more rock-based. And then, so we got together, we started writing these tunes, and then I called up Dave. Dave and I went to Humber together. He was a little bit busy, but not too busy. And he wanted to come and be a part of the band, so we got him on board, and then we needed to find a drummer, and we auditioned, for 3 days? 4 days?
3 days over a couple of months, I think.
Yeah, just trying to find a drummer, and then Dave found Kevin at a music store that he worked at, so music school. So then we all meshed. Like, once Kevin walked in the room, we all knew that it was meant to be. And
I said some joke about dirty diapers, and Francine burst out laughing. That sealed the deal right there.
Well, that's, you know, you're going to spend a lot of time together. That's important.
Yeah, totally.
So you were studying music at Humber?
Yeah, we were.
Both of you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, all four of us have studied music.
Yeah, terrific. Now, you pulled a fast one on me with that first song, Out of the Gate. That isn't on your EP. That must be new. What's the story behind that one?
I have to answer this one? Everyone's looking at me.
I can't even remember when we wrote that song, but I know it was definitely after we recorded the album. And
it's written about an incident that had happened to me a little while ago, and I was kind of stalked one night, and I was just really pissed off that this guy stalked me, and I couldn't do anything about it, and I wrote the song about assholes who stalk women and try and get away, and they get away with it. You know, so anyways, this guy totally got away with it, and I was really pissed off.
No, he didn't. You wrote a song about him. You always get the last word in if you're a songwriter.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, that said, what the heck's Bottom about? Is it about butt cheeks or some deep, dark place?
The Bottom is about always trying to strive for the top, and you never make it to the top. You're always at the bottom. So, I wrote, here we all stand at the bottom. Keep reaching for it. And I find every person I meet is trying to make a dollar and trying to make more money than what they have. They always want more than what they have. That's what the song's about, is that you're always reaching for more. It doesn't matter how much money you have and how much you have. That's what it's about. Not about bum cheeks, although, you know, some of us have some nice bum cheeks. Okay, you guys ready? All right, this one's called The Bottom.
Here we all stand at the bottom. Now, I couldn't help noticing on your CD, there's a huge list of thank yous. You can't owe that many people money.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I guess you can. And where was this recorded?
Go ahead.
It was recorded in Hillsborough, Ontario, at a studio called The Shed.
The Shed, that's a catchy name.
It was a shed.
What's a Hillsborough? Where is that? Sounds 905.
North.
North.
It's near Fergus.
Drive out into middle of nowhere and you'll
hit
it. Yeah, it's near Erin. It's just north of Erin, right?
Yeah. No kidding.
It's like there's nothing there. Nothing. There's not even a drugstore.
Well, how do you even know this studio? How did that come down?
We hooked up with Brian Allen, who produced the record, and he was buddies with the guy who owns the studio. And he thought it would be a great place to record the album because there's a cottage up there, and we all stayed up there for 2 weeks. About 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Roughly.
And it was really cool because we could just wake up in the morning and then walk across the field and the studio was right there.
Yep, and then we worked for like 8 hours, 10 hours straight, and it was nice. And then go back and have dinner together. And
eat
drinks.
Donna's mom's lasagna.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Every band needs Donna's mom.
We're lucky.
That's pretty cool. Now, who do you get compared to? What do people say, hey, Red Light Riot sounds like?
I don't even want to say what people say because it's not true. I don't know. What do we sound like?
We got a lot of Weird Al Yankovic. it's like a female version.
We've had like the rock duo comparisons a lot, like the Led Zeppelin, Guns N' Roses, Velvet Revolver kind of stuff. But the female version.
Of course, the female stuff is always like, oh, you know, you guys remind me of Heart. Well, we don't sound like Heart, but I guess because we're two women, one playing guitar, one singing, that would
be it. They draw that comparison.
Yeah, and I think my voice has been referred to every woman that's, I think,
Pat Benatar,
popular.
No doubt.
Yeah, Alana Pat Miles. Benatar.
Have you heard Darby Mills? Do you know the band The Headpins?
No.
Check your parents' vinyl collection. It might be in there.
Yeah, it's not. I lived in that vinyl collection.
Canadian early 80s kind of rock act.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she belted it out. But sounds fabulous. It's nice and rich and great sound. Do you know who told me to check you out?
It Robbie?
Yeah, Robbie. Robbie was Butcher Robbie? From cool 10 Bangs. And he said it's a... like a female-fronted Led Zeppelin.
That's so cool.
That's how he coined it. And that was a great CD release party.
Thank you.
Well attended, right?
Yeah,
it was a good
fun
show.
Yeah.
Good mixture of bands.
It was awesome.
And people seem to respond well to it.
Yeah.
Will anyone get to see the video footage that was shot there?
Yes. I just got it yesterday, and we're going to be putting it up on, I think you're taking
probably, hopefully next week sometime.
Yeah, are we putting it on MySpace, or are we putting it on, we're going to put it on YouTube, for sure.
Yeah, YouTube and MySpace.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
for now, you can see it at www.cvideomag.com.
No kidding.
Is it C-video?
Nope, just C-video-mag.
cvideomag.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the guy who did it for us, his name's Brian, he runs C-video, and he did an amazing job. He was a really cool guy.
Oh, terrific. Nice plug.
Yeah.
And
the
website for Red Light Riot, where do people go?
It's The Red Light Riot.
The Red Light Riot. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. That's what it is. TheRedLightRiot.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fabulous. Well, did you have fun?
It was great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, great having you. Let's finish with a big one. You got, I think... you're finishing with the lead track off of your CD, right?
That's right.
Okay, fabulous. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, what's up? This is Darren from The Salads, and I hear it first on the Toronto Indie Scene.
We just heard Bloodshot Bill. That's off the What Is Indie soundtrack. If you were at the Indie Can birthday bash, you got to see that movie. It's by Dave Cool, a Canadian documentarian, and you can actually buy that movie off of the IndieCan website if you want it for yourself. Not only does it come with the DVD, but also the soundtrack, which that is on. Golden Dogs were before that with Construction Worker, and we opened up the set with Aide de Camp with Asthmatic, fabulous band from the East Coast. East Coast Music Awards just happened, and I'm hoping to get some news from there. Now, if you did see What Is Indie, there were a number of industry artists, industry experts. It was shot in two different countries, several different cities. Ember Swift was one of the artists who was interviewed, and if you found her as charming as I did, she's playing at Hugh's Room just after Canadian Music Week, March 11th here in Toronto. So you might want to check her out. Ask her, what does she mean by chicks love vegetarians? Anyway, here's a song from Ember Swift off of the soundtrack.
How come I've never heard of you? Are you the lead singer? Why'd they name the band after you? Is this your first tour? Do you have a record out? How long you been together? Is this your first time here? Do you actually live anywhere? Is that your real name? Is that your real name? Sounds like a stage name to me. Where are you off to next? Where did you come from? Where did you go? And can I buy you a drink? How come I've never heard you on the radio? And do you have a manager? Do you play any covers? When's your next local gig? Who's your drummer? Did you really boink the bride? Did you really, really, really boink the bride? What's your bass player's name again? What's that stick thing she's playing? Do you ever do weddings? Where are you staying? Don't you want to be famous, a star, a millionaire? Don't you want your music to get out there? Why don't you have a video? Hey, did you change your hair? Have you heard of Ani DiFranco? Oh, oh! You have 8 different albums, where have I been? What are you driving? Where's your tour bus? Where's your driver? Where's your limousine? Underground independent, word of mouth takes time. Yes, and I write songs, I play guitar, and occasionally I rhyme. Bancroft, solo roots and beginnings, the name works, it suits. We've been traveling many years, we have 8 different offerings. Depends on the player, it's always growing. Not likely our first time here, but it must be our first sighting. Yes, we live in Toronto, at least we do when we touch down. Yes, it is, it's on the birth certificate. Yes, I'll prove it, here's my wallet. From down the road, the next town, from up the road, the last city. No thanks, I do not drink on the road. That's due in part to the media monopoly. You're self-managed and a little bit gritty. Not often, I'm not so good at other people's work. Within the year, we hope, depends on the tour, they swap. Yes, I'm a proud queer, what do you know? That there, the wizard there, that there is Lindo. It's an electric violin, yes, you can call it a fiddle. We are not really a wedding band, let me repeat that. We are not really a wedding band. Where are we staying? Or wouldn't you like to know? As if they're all synonymous, I don't think so. And no, I think, ears will hear this music, and it can happen with thee. Firmly on the ground, video has never been a priority. I'd rather tour and experiment with live sound. Yes, I did. Do you like it? Well, hasn't everyone? The more artists who are activists, the better. From under a rock, out of the loop, I'm just kidding. You are here now, and that's all that matters. A big maroon van, and it suits us and it works. And you are listening to the driver. Limos are for lounge lizards. We are scuffed up road warriors. We need lots of gear, space, and big snow tires. Limos are for lounge lizards. We are scuffed up road warriors. We need lots of gear, space, and big snow tires.
March 7th to 10th is Canadian Music Week. It kicks off at the docks with Never Ending White Light, Wolf Mother, Priestess, Hello Goodbye, The Stills, and Rough Trade, who are being inducted into the Hall of Fame. I've got on deck the interview with Carol Pope, and it's really something. Let's get back to the music. How about something from, let's see, Bukkake Catholic. Here we go. Great pleasure to have with us in our studio, Carol Pope. Carol, welcome to IndieCan Studio.
Thank you.
I had a chance to see you in Cambridge. Great show. Still got it. Always had it. Always will. Tell me, do you still get nervous before a show, or does it feel like another day at the office, or do you wonder, what the hell am I doing here? What's it like for you?
I don't really get nervous. I just really like performing. I don't like anything else about the business, but I like the actual performing.
Actual performing
in front of an audience. It's all crap except for that.
And tell us a little bit about your most recent album. It's an indie album. You put out yourself, Transcend.
Oh, it took me forever to get it made because, you know, I had like 2 cents. most of it is live in the studio. There's a couple of electronica things with my guitar player, Tim Welsh, who we've worked together since like 86 or 87, so it's all him. And also there's one track that, a song called World of One that Alan Johannes did in L.A., and that's all him. And he works with Queens of the Stone Age and P.J. Harvey and co-produced the Chris Cornell album and has an amazing band called Eleven. So it took me like 3 or 4 years to get it together, but I'm pretty happy with it, considering it cost 5 cents.
So you produced it yourself?
Yeah, I produced it.
Have you ever produced for anybody else?
A couple of things for movies. I'd like to produce for other people. I'd like to. I'm very jealous of Linda Perry, and I wish I was her. You know, I wish I was like writing and producing for Pink and Lisa Marie Presley and things like that.
But you would be receptive to something like that?
Oh, totally.
With the right artist.
Oh yeah. I mean, if anybody out there But yeah, because I think I have a pretty good ear, and I definitely, you know, because I've been around forever, have a knowledge of music and material, and so yeah.
Well, let's. I know how you get when people want to dwell on some sort of 80s nostalgia thing. And I won't spend too much time on that. But, I mean, you are a three-time Juno winner. Mm-hmm. You did reshape the musical landscape in Canada. And, you know, you have to live with that legacy to a certain degree. But how do you feel the music business has changed, or has it changed at all since the early days?
I think it's changed for the worse. I think people don't believe in developing artists like they used to. You know, if you don't sell records, you get dumped. And back in the day, labels were more interested in developing artists over a few albums. I think there's all children, you know, it's just all young kids, and they really have no knowledge. It's like young kids and business people are running the industry and corporations, I mean, and that's just horrifying. But who needs them, because we have the internet.
So you feel like the music industry is run by a bunch of bean counters and empire builders.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, all the labels are getting bought out. I mean, how many labels are left, really? How many big labels are left? Three or four, maybe?
Four now.
Yeah, yeah. That's frightening.
Now, speaking of labels, tell us about the early days of True North. I mean, we like to think of it as a great, pure Canadian story. Is there a dark side to it? What was your experience with
True
North?
The dark side to True North. I don't know. I mean, that was Bernie Finkelstein and Bernie Fiedler at that time. They had this great label, more of a folk label. And I think Bernie Finkelstein came to see us, and I said, why don't you sign us? And he said, I will. And we'd also had interest from Supertramp, had a label, too, in the States. But I don't know. But
they were on A&M, weren't they?
Well, there was some other new label that somehow was interested in us. So, but we went with Bernie and True North. And, you know, I'm not sorry. I mean, the only thing I didn't like was we always had to work in the same studio, and I wanted to try other studios and different engineers.
Now, tell me about songwriting now. We talked earlier, you're talking about being interested in a new recording project. Is this because of a burning hole in your heart, a hole in the pocketbook, or what motivates you to keep writing music?
Well, it's not money. I don't know. I just feel really inspired at the moment. And, yeah, I love writing music. I mean, you know, that's what I do. I'm an artist. I write and perform. And I'm very into GarageBand now, because I am, like, really old school. And I used to write on a Tascam 4-track and play guitar and use an Elise's drum machine. And now there's GarageBand. So there's all these loops that I can play with, which I really like. So yeah, I'm writing stuff that I wouldn't normally be writing and putting all these parts on that I wouldn't normally be doing, so I can, like, kind of create a more of a picture of you know, what I want my music to sound like.
What can we expect from the new album in terms of subject matter?
Oh, honey, sex. The usual sex.
Still not
politics.
Over that, eh?
Well, because I'm not over it. Because I mean, well, more relationships. I don't know. I haven't really written. I've just written, I guess, more stuff about relationships this time, or I seem to be writing more stuff about relationships. And I'm getting my old sense of humor back.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm going back to the 80s and 70s for that. I'm like, you know, because Rough Trade was pretty funny, pretty dark and funny.
Well, absolutely. I mean, as I recall, just talking to another artist who was the same age as me, and we both turned 20 at the same time, and they were all excited about what was going on with music, and I felt this great heaviness that it was over and there wasn't much going on, but there were a few bright lights. On this side of the border, Pursuit of Happiness, Rough Trade, you know, very witty and had something to say. Mm-hmm. Talking Heads, Nina Hagen was kind of interesting. I mean, there were a few bright lights, but for the most part, you know, I was still spinning my old LPs and bemoaning the death of, you know, music in this new black and white world. But, I mean, I'm younger now than I was then in that regard, because there's a lot going on.
There is. There's a lot of great bands out there. I mean, my favorite radio station is Indie 103 in Los Angeles, and Steve Jones has a show, and he's like such an idiot, but he has great stories. Oh, he's a chauvinist and an idiot, but he has, and he like farts on air and answers his cell phone. But he has all these amazing people on, and they jam, and it's, you know, I've never heard radio like that.
Yeah, it's fresh and new.
Yeah, and they play, I like everything they play, you know, and they support local artists, so.
So what bands are you listening to now? What would you go out of your way to see?
God, hardly anything. I mean, there's a lot of one-hit wonders, but I just saw Metric in L.A., and I'll always go and see John Bryan. I'm not sure if you know who he is, but he produced Fiona Apple and Rufus Wainwright, and actually Kanye West, some of the Kanye West album, and he scores things like Magnolia. Oh, he also produced Amy Mann, and he does like this one man show where he's got a whole band set up and drums, bass, guitar, piano, and he'll like start playing everything, and it's all sampled, it's all wired up, so it's all sampled, and then he'll play on top of that, and it's like brilliant. I mean, I just think he's brilliant. And I guess the other band I saw, God, I don't see bands that much. Oh, Sigur Rós. I saw them at the Hollywood Bowl, because that's a fantastic venue to go and see people at, because you can like bring a picnic and bring
it, it's
wine
still
and,
there, is it?
Yeah, and they have amazing shows.
Yeah, it's amazing. Some artists can do so much with so little. I saw Joe Jackson with only two other musicians and at Kingswood, and he just totally commanded the audience. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was doing stuff off his Jump and Jive, and you know, how do you do that with three people? And
well, if a song is good, you should be able to play it on guitar or piano. I mean, it's all about the song, really.
Well, I think so. A friend of yours, John Kapak, is trying to drive that home too. Toronto songwriters, because there's a lot of great music out there, but there seems to be a premium on, you know, the craft of songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
So we're certainly looking forward to what you can come up with next. So it's been a great career for you. Let's just go back one more time, if you don't mind. What did it feel like to hear your song on the radio for the first time?
Oh, well, it was incredibly exciting. And we were very surprised by the amount of success we did have, you know, because we weren't sure they'd play. We just wanted to make a record, and we wanted to perform, and everything else was gravy, you know. So, yeah, it was a great, great feeling to hear.
Yeah, so the fact that radio stations were playing your music or royalties were coming in, that was just an afterthought. It was still all about performing.
Yeah.
Well, you spent a lot of time in New York performing for free. I mean, just
pretty much, yeah.
Get out there.
Yeah.
And you won 3 Junos. Mm-hmm. Was that a surprise to you?
Totally. I wasn't expecting to.
Sorry, Anne Murray. Sorry, Luba.
Yeah, there was some stiff competition back then. No, I mean, I think we were the only game in town, and because we all, you know, we just did original material, and we played so much before we recorded the album, and, it just went platinum, it seems like, in a minute, because there was a ready-made audience for it.
Now, later on, you came back to host the You Knows. I guess by then they were the Casbys with Paul Schaefer.
Right.
That must have been fun.
Oh, that was fun. Because we got to, you know, just write anything we wanted to and just be complete idiots and get paid for it. We did that a couple of times, and it was wacky work. You know, the CBC is just wacky. They always got to have the dry ice and the dancers. And I'm like, what the hell? You know? It's just so old school. I mean, I don't even know. Are they still like that? I don't know. I'm sure there's still dry ice and dancers.
Well, CTV has the Junos now, and
I know they have everything, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
But I'm never. They never asked me to be on the Junos, and I'm very offended by that. By the way,
I'll get the word out.
Shouldn't I be on playing a little song or something? Hello.
Now, so just looking back, I mean, I'm not treating your career as over by any means. It's, you know, in progress. But
yeah.
What would you say you're most proud of to date? And what would you say your greatest regret is?
I'm proud. I don't know if I'm proud. Well, I don't know what I would define. I wouldn't necessarily use the word proud, but how about like the highlights of our career?
Yeah, something.
Like I think working, you know, touring with Bowie, and I think our first tour across Canada after we signed with True North and the record started selling, that was pretty much a highlight. And I think we both regret is not getting support from CBS, well, now it's Sony, not getting tour support to go on with Bowie and not getting...
Now, you could have done all of North America with Bowie.
Well, we could have done, like, California and Australia and New Zealand. I think that was the offer.
Yeah.
And just getting, like, having bad luck with the labels in the U.S. We were on two labels that... Stiffed, and then we were on Boardwalk, and they both went tits up, so that was annoying. And also, I wanted to move to the States, and Kevin didn't, because I really think we should have done that.
Right. And you have now.
Yeah. I moved there, like, 89. I moved to Los Angeles in 1989.
And you work a little bit with TV and film, certainly... Cruising, I think it was called, the Al Pacino movie.
Oh, God, we did that before we had our deal. That was like 79. Yeah.
But you're doing stuff now, are you? Is being in California make that easier?
Yes and no. I mean, there's more music supervisors, there's more heavy-duty music supervisors there, and they, you know, do a lot of big shows there. But, yeah, I have three songs on the L Word and a couple of songs on Queer as Folk, but that was just True Connections here because that was made here. And, you know, some other stuff. But it's kind of, you know, I just try and network with music supervisors there. And, you know, I'd love to get something on network TV. I know a lot of people in bands who've gotten stuff on network shows. And, you know, it's just money forever, especially if it goes to DVD.
Yeah, it's great royalties.
Yeah, and we actually have a song that we co-wrote with Nona Hendrix, Transformation, and we make so much money from that. It was in the original show, Miami Vice, and now it's going to DVD, so they have to pay us for that. And then they redid it again for the L Word, so, and it's on the soundtrack album. So I like all that stuff.
So what would you say to someone new getting started as an artist? What would be the important things to consider in terms of career development?
Don't waste your time pursuing a label. I think you should be your own record company and apply for a Factor grant or whatever kind of grants they still have going on here. And, you know, put it out yourself. And... you just got to really, I mean, it's just a nightmare, and you got to get out there and play, and it's much more competitive. It seems like there's more bands today. It seems like everybody and their brother is in a band. But I think my big motto is just be true to yourself and be very tenacious, but also be talented too, okay?
Okay, well, thanks so much for coming in. Means a lot to us.
You're welcome.
For those of you out there, a great history of rock and roll is Anti-Diva by Random House. The easiest way to get it is go to carolpope.com. That's Carol with an E. And you can order it through there. I think you can get an autographed copy.
That's through me. Or you can get it, you know, at Amazon or Indigo or Random House website and get my record, too. Let's plug my record.
Absolutely.
Which you can get at carolpope.com or CD Baby or iTunes or Hear Music. You know, it's on like 45 download sites. Napster, blah, blah, blah. You know, all those.
As a matter of fact, let's close the show with a tune off of Transcend. What do you want to play?
Dream Six.
Okay. Dream Six it is. What do you want to say about that?
What do I want to... That's a very intense song, which people think is about sex, but it's actually about death.
Okay, here we have it. Dream Six.
Thanks for listening to the Toronto Indie Scene, an IndieCan music production.
For more information on the artists featured on today's show, visit IndieCan.com.